So we're in the book of Jonah, and Jonah's story is pretty simple. Like that song just said, Jonah was a child of God, but he ran from his father. God pursued him, brought on a storm, and that storm forced Jonah to reconsider the path he had chosen. And throughout the book of Jonah, we see this story and we see the reflection and we see the events that caused Jonah to confess to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we have a tendency to think that during times of crisis, God is distant, God has removed himself, God doesn't care about us. But I believe Jonah reminds us that God's presence enables us to endure the trials that we face. Maybe even the ones that we created on our own, through disobedience or through choices that we made. Leonard Sweet tells of an unusual tribal custom that pictures God's presence during our darkest hours. One tribe of Native Americans had a unique practice for training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of the thick woods by himself all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for many. After what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night long. God never forsakes his children, even when we disobey him. He wants us back. And we can see that through the story of Jonah. Jonah drifted away, but God wanted him back. In Jonah's story, we learn how to respond to God's prompting to return to him. In fact, Jonah's experience illustrates the steps back to God. You can see in verse 17 at first, which is Jonah's confinement, chapter 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And here we see the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And there's probably a lot of debate out there what kind of fish it was. Was it a shark? Was it a whale? Was it a large fish? You know, and we probably don't know until we get to heaven and find out. But the type of fish isn't as important as the role of the fish. Some see the fish simply as God's judgment on Jonah. But God used the sea as his hand of correction. The fish, on the other hand, represents much more than God's correction. I think the fish was a protective haven from the sea. The fish protected Jonah. Jonah was in the fish, and the fish represents God's provision for his protection. All along, God intended to use Jonah. He wanted to use Jonah. And while the 3 days and nights in the fish's bellies were extremely difficult and painful, God had no intention of killing Jonah. Think about it. If God wanted Jonah dead, he could have just left him in the water. There was enough things out there to kill him. He could have left him in the ocean and sent a shark. You know, God desired to break Jonah's disobedient will, but he was not finished with him yet. And as I was reading through this week, I was wondering, how long did Jonah float out there in the water? They throw him overboard, and he's out there, and he's floating. Did the fish swallow him immediately, or did some time pass before the fish appeared? And we can see through his prayers and through how things happen, At the end of chapter 1, verses 15, it says, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." The sailors throw him into the sea. And you can see in chapter 2, verse 3, "For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." It says, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very hearts of the seas, and the current swirled round about me." He confessed that God was behind that. He knew that God had a plan. He goes on to say the waves swept over him. The sea was not calm. Jonah should have been able to tread water for only a little while. Verse 4, it says, "I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple." He thought he was all by himself. The water swirled around his neck as he struggles to stay afloat. The water overcame him and he began to sink. He was about to die. And just before he dies, God rescued him with that great fish. Let's read through this real quick. Jonah chapter 2. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he had heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. I will look again toward thy holy temple. The water compassed me about, even to thy soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." After 3 days and three nights, God commanded the fish to spew Jonah out of the fish's mouth onto dry land. You know, I don't know where the boat was. I don't know how far out in the water it was. But I don't think the 3 days and nights had to deal with how far out they were or how fast the fish could swim or what. I think the 3 days and nights have, again, it's an analogy with Jesus Christ being buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. But it is also dealing with the heart of Jonah. I don't believe when we're in the middle of a storm, we change overnight. Oh yes, Lord, I'm good now. You can put me back on the correct path. It doesn't take 5 minutes and I'm good now. It takes days. It's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing. It's a minute thing. And he was trying to clean Jonah's heart. Jonah needed time to empty his sinful heart. And when Jonah was ready to obey God, the fish was ready to release him. You can even see in Matthew 12:40 the comparison with the Jesus uses it in 12:40 of Matthew. It says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So again, God had a specific place that he wanted Jonah. And Jonah went the wrong way. The Lord had a desire for the people at Nineveh. The Lord had a desire for those. And God had prepared a way to move him from the middle of the ocean back to where he started. Back to where he wanted him to go. We can see in verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly." You know, I think this is a time Jonah had a private sanctuary with the Lord. And there's many times in life that we need to be alone. We need to spend time with the Lord based on how things are happening. You know, what is a sanctuary? What makes a church auditorium, a prayer closet, or even a fish's belly a sanctuary? And I believe it's where you can encounter God. Whether it's here, whether it's at home, whether it's in the closet, whether it's in the bathroom, whether it's driving around during the day. When you encounter God is those times when he's touching your life. You can hear it. And this happened with Jonah in the belly of the whale. Many times we may ignore it. We may not listen. And then, like Jonah, that's when the storm comes along. That's when things get rocked. That's when things happen. That's when we say, I don't understand why these things are happening to me. But you can see the cry for help that Jonah had. You can see it in verse 2, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. He cried out for help. He said he had been banished. His life was fading away. You know, I believe inside that fish, God had stripped the prophet Jonah of both his pride and prejudice. God removed all spiritual distractions. Inside that fish, Jonah submitted to God without reservation. Many times in our life, we have to be stripped of everything we have. We have to be stripped of what's going on in our life. We have to be stripped of what's happening. So the Lord can get our attention. And there's not much more for Jonah to do inside the... Just think of that. Think of how that smelled. Think of how he slept. Think of what all he did for 3 days and three nights. You have no phones, no technology, no computers, no nothing. You're inside the belly of a whale. The only thing he could do was cry out for help. And while he was offering this prayer, Jonah often quoted from the book of Psalms. You know, he didn't acknowledge the chapter or verse, but he allows the word of God to permeate his thoughts. There's about seven different times, but we're not going to look at all of them. But you can look at Psalms 42:7 is one of them. You can compare 2:3 to 4:7. I mean 42:7. Psalms 42:7 says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And in Jonah 2:3, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Look at Psalms 18:6, when he begins to look back to the temple, which just means he's now looking back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows he's done wrong, and he's now taking the time to say, I will come back to you. In Psalms 18:6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. That compares to 2:7. When my soul fainted with me, and I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Look at Psalms 3:8. Psalms 3:8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The blessing is upon thy people. And Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through hard times. And I believe those are the times that we need to have the Word of God memorized. Those are times that we need to listen to the still small voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and give us that verse to remember. even if it's through our own disobedience or whether just something has occurred, God speaks through his word to the heart. That's why it says, hide God's word in your heart, that I might not sin against thee. I believe God can guide our thoughts. He can guide our actions. But it has to be through the word of God. What is a word? It is a physical representation of a thought. God's word is a physical representation of his thoughts on a level and in a language we can comprehend. We can understand the word of God. We're not going to understand every jot and tittle of it, but we can understand the word of God to where we can have the comfort and the peace that it brings us. You know, Jonah's thoughts were incongruent with God's thoughts. The word of God guided Jonah to understand and acknowledge God's thoughts about him. I believe God's word has a cleansing effect on us. It can change our heart. It can renew our mind. It can strengthen us. It can lift us up. It can cleanse us. You know, I believe once Jonah was in that belly of the whale, he began to soften. His heart began to soften. He knew he messed up. And God's word will always guide us back to him if we follow it. I heard a story well over 100 years ago. Much of northern Michigan was entirely new country, covered with dense forest. The best woodsman was liable to lose his way unless he carried a pocket compass. A settler of those days tells this story. One day I had been walking in the woods when, though I could not see the sun or sky, I knew by the settling darkness that night was coming on, and started as I thought for home. I was so certain of my direction that for some time I did not look at my compass. On doing so, however, I was greatly surprised to find that whereas I thought I was going east, in reality I was bound due west. Not only was I surprised, but I was so sure of my own judgment and so disgusted with my compass that I raised my arm to throw it away. Then pausing, I thought, you have never lied to me yet, and I'll trust you once more. I followed it, and I came right out. The word of God is our compass. The word of God will never steer you wrong. The word of God will never steer you in the wrong direction. The Bible is a compass, and it's guided millions to heaven. It's guided millions to correct living. It's guided millions to living a life that is joyous and blessed. We can see at the end of here, Jonah confesses. When you come to the place that you know God has your attention, and you know that you must return, I think there's many things that we can say, but Jonah has four responses here. And in verse 3 and 4, he can see God's hand at work. It says, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. He says, you threw me into the depths. I have been banished from your sight. He says, you and your. Jonah makes the connection between his disobedience and God's correction. He holds God blameless and himself guilty. And as believers or as human beings, I think it's very easy to blame others. It's very easy to blame God. It's very easy to blame everybody but ourselves. And I think there's times in life that we just have to take the blame. If we can step back and look at the situation and look at the storm and just see it from another point of view, God has his hand in it. God had a plan. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, I turned my eyes back to you. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I will again look towards your holy temple. There's many times in life that we take a break from church, or we take a break from volunteering, or we take a break from reading God's word. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Doesn't mean, but we need to create that relationship. We need to have that relationship. We need to say, yes, Lord, I'm looking back to you. Yes, Lord, I see you. There's many times we take our eyes off of God. And that's what Jonah did when he left and didn't want to go to Nineveh. Turn your eyes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6, Jonah then thanks. He says, I thank you for your compassion. 2:6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. You have raised me from the pit. There's many times that we get to the bottom of a pit and we say, Lord, if you will get me out of this one situation, this one time, I will never do it again. I promise. And he gets us out of that pit and we fall right back into it. He gets us out of that pit and we fall right back into it. But we can thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he keeps coming back. His grace and mercy keeps, his compassion keeps coming back. And Jonah offers his thanks. Even though he was still in the middle of the storm. He's still in the middle of the belly of the whale. And he says, I thank the Lord for your compassion. You have given me another day. I don't know if I'll die in this whale. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come of it. But I thank you for your compassion. In verse 9, I believe he renews his commitment. It says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He promised, I will fulfill my vows. You know, true repentance requires change. We can't just show up on Sunday morning and say, okay, I'm gonna quit doing that. Show up the next Sunday morning and say, okay, I'm going to quit doing that. Show up the next Sunday morning and say, I'm going to quit doing that. I'm not the one doing the conviction. The Lord Jesus Christ is doing the conviction. And there's times that you have to say, yes, Lord, I will renew my commitment to you. I will fulfill my vows to you. From this day forward, doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but from this day forward, I'm going to renew my commitment to you. And this is what Jonah does. He says, salvation is of the Lord. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. A man in a certain church was known to rededicate his life on a regular basis. He always prayed the same prayer, Lord, remove the cobwebs from my life. Upon hearing the prayer yet another time, his pastor whispered this prayer to the man, and Lord, kill the spiders. We can't just rededicate our life to the Lord each and every Sunday, each and every day. Do it and mean it. Make it happen. Make the change in your heart. It is said that the Eastern Shepherd, as he brings his sheep back to the fold each night, he stands at the door and counts each one. As he does so, he puts his hand on the head of each animal. He makes a habit of touching each one of them. If he were to grow careless and neglect to habitually touch his sheep, it would soon turn its head away when it's heard its voice. This, of course, could be very serious, for with such a broken habit would follow the animal's actual ignoring the warning shout from the shepherd and subsequently could be disastrous for the sheep. If we are experiencing the shepherd's touch daily in our lives, we will recognize his voice. We will hear him call us when there's danger. You know, if we don't practice his presence, then we have probably been practicing the presence of our enemy. Our Lord awaits the moment to touch our day with his presence, each and every day. Listen for that still small voice. Listen to what God wants you to do. Where are you at in the storm? Are you in the middle of it? Are you at the end of it? Where are you at compared to Jonah? And listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jonah and the life that he lived. We just thank you that he cried out to you. We just thank you that each and every one of us can cry out to you and you will hear us. Whether we're in the depths of hell, whether we're here, wherever we're at, you will hear our cry. If we're at the bottom of the pit, Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us will cry out to you. If we need to make a new commitment, renew our life to you, Lord. If we haven't given our life to you yet, if you haven't put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary for your sins, I just pray that you'll hear God's voice and say, now is the time to say, yes, Lord. I know you went to the cross. I know that you died. I know that you were risen again the third day. You paid for my sins so I could spend eternity with you. Wherever we're at in the storm, Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us will be convicted, that you encourage us and that you bless us and push us forward to live a life that is pleasing to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.